Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a quick moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Professor Ames of SkullBoneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for bringing us on, as always. It's another nice, beautiful day in California, and I hope it's a beautiful day in Florida where you are.
Yes, ma'am. Sure is.
Good. All righty. Well, let's see. What's new to report? I have some news to tell people. Just, you know, there's always something new going on at Lucky Mojo. Some of you people take my Hoodoo Root Work Correspondence course. And those who take the course know that there are 8 homework assignments, and you have to turn in those assignments before you graduate. And, of course, graduating doesn't mean that you necessarily going to become a professional root worker. Some people just do it for the interest, and some do it for themselves or family, and some do it because they do want to be professionals and they want to have some kind of a, you know, credentialing that they can show to other people that they worked hard and they did finish the course. Well, we hold homework parties every month and we grade the homework. I take 2 new students every week, or at least I do 2 interviews. Now, that would average out to about 8 people a month. And we'd expect 8 people to graduate. Some months there are more, some months there are less. Well, we fell behind on the grading the homework around the time of the May Hoodoo Heritage Festival. We were holding a big homework party, and we were grading homework, and everybody and their brother, sister, cousin, and their aunt and uncle had all turned in their homework because they all wanted it to be graded at this super special homework party where everybody was attending. Okay. And at some point, like 10:30 at night, we just kind of went, no more, can't do anymore. Well, then the June homework party came around. And at June homework party, nobody showed up. They were all burnt out from the May homework party. It was just me and Shiva. So we sat there all by our little lonesomes grading homework and kind of like, And we never finished May, and we partly finished June. We kind of set aside some of them and got all messed up. And then we never finished June, so we couldn't announce June anyway because we hadn't finished May. And then July came, and that was this Friday, just this last Friday, and we had all of July's homework. And so a graduate student of ours who lives here locally, her name is Angela Horner. She's a customer of our shop, and she's taken the class. She comes by often for the homework parties, and she, you know, just hangs out with us. And she came by, and she said she was going to help. And we stayed up late, and we still weren't finished. Bless her heart, she came by the next morning and got us out there sitting on the railroad layout finishing the homework. And we didn't even finish it then. She had to go. She had to go deliver something to somebody, and so she went off. We finally finished it. So we have finished all of the homework grading for May, June, and July. So I want to bring Nagashiva on because he's the guy who does the record keeping. And I want Nagashiva, are you there?
I am. I was on the computer after we finished into the evening, until about midnight, finishing up the reports and everything that was required to get that out the door by tomorrow.
Yeah. So tomorrow, the certificates are going out for May, June, and July.
And
but
July.
I'd like to ask you, and July, right, how many graduates did we have from May, June, and July?
Well, first all told, there were just over 200 pieces of email. 200 pieces of homework we evaluated between those 3 months. 100 of
wow.
them were in May, and so that's part of the reason why it just went from 1 month to the next because there were so many people who wanted to turn in homework. And then we had 11 graduates for May, and that was it. May be the most we've ever had, and we had 8. In June, and then we had 3 in July.
Wow. All right. Well, so you can see that we did a lot of work, and we want to congratulate everybody who turned in their homework and graduated. Now, some of these people, and is there, people who are familiar with the system that we do, I want everyone to graduate, but not everyone gets it right the first time. There's no shame on it. If you do something that's a little screwy or a little off, I will send it back to you with extensive notes, and I will tell you what to do. I can tell you, for instance, that we would have had another 5 graduates if everyone had done everything perfect. There was one lady, she didn't tie her mojo bag. You know, she just left it open. She didn't even tie a knot at the end of the string. It was like an open string and open back, right? Well, I couldn't pass it, so we sent it back. We're telling her, just tie it up and it'll be fine. But I wanted her to do it. I figure, you know, you can't have Mama pick up after you. You got to learn how to, you know, clean your own bedroom. And, you know, one person got the botanical name of a plant wrong, and he shall remain nameless. He's right there in the chat. Please say my name, he says. Candelo. Candelo made a very interesting error. I'm going to mention this because this was kind of cool. Candelo made an error so interesting it's worthwhile mentioning.
Totally.
He turned in a Bruce precatorius seeds. Now, these are a seed that's little red and black seeds, and they're in the pea family, and they were been naturalized in Florida, which is where he lives. And they grow in Venezuela. They grow in India, and they're used for good luck. They're very toxic. They have a psychedelic component, but also toxic component. And he knew them because of where his family is from, Dominican Republic, and he's got roots in the Caribbean area. They called it peonia. Now, peonia is a common name for it, but peonia is also the Latin name for the peony plant. And they call it peonia because, I don't know, because a peony has a red flower sometimes or sometimes pink. I don't know why they call it peonia. It's not a peonia. It's a Bruce precatorius. So he called it peonia, so he goes to look it up. He goes, well, it must be peonia officinalis, which is a peony plant, which is a Chinese plant. And I looked at that, and I thought, only somebody from a Caribbean background would do that. And I was so thrilled. I was like, that's the greatest mistake I've seen in a long time. But it also explains why we don't use common names exclusively.
Yeah.
Because, of course, there's another name for those same things, frijolito. Well, frijolito means little bean, and it would be like it's edible, but they aren't edible. They are not edible. So, he's fixed it. You know, he's going to graduate. But
yeah.
sometimes the errors are interesting, very interesting. Now, when I was a kid, I knew those Bruce precatorius under the name of ladybug beans, because we have ladybugs in California that look just like them. So you see, everybody's common name is going to vary. But anyway, so we did all the homework of grading, and Candela, yeah, you're special even when you fail, Candela. Just kidding.
He didn't fail though. He just,
but it was interesting. No,
interesting.
He didn't fail. He fixed it. See, that's the thing. Yeah. I tell everybody fix it. Somebody sent me some herbs that they hadn't dried, and they were all moldy, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Do-over.
And, And it's just a do-over. We do it over, no points subtracted. Just do it again until you get it right. My job is to graduate people.
Yeah.
So that's where we are, and I just wanted to bring Shiva in on that. Now, we have a little bit of catch-up to do with you, Countryman Ali. What's up with you?
Oh, you know, I've been quite busy. First, congratulations to all the graduates, and congratulations definitely to Candelo for taking the course. I was there when you interviewed him for the course, actually, so it was exciting to hear that. On my end, I've been quite busy. I have been trying my hand out at predicting. As you know, I love divination, and my two favorite styles are horary astrology and geomancy. So I've been trying out my hand at predicting competitions. Traditionally, both geomancy and horary astrology were sometimes used for predicting battles. And so I've adopted some of these older methods, and some people have tried this out, and I've been fiddling it over the years to really kind of fine-tune it and see if I can get, be successful at it. And I tried my hand at predicting the World Cup and several of the games. I did this on behalf of a client, and it turns out that I am 100% accurate just for these games, it turns out. I'm not always 100%
wow.
accurate. No, I'm sure I'll get more wrong. But in the World Cup, I have actually predicted for not all the games I didn't predict. He came to me just for the final, just for the end few games. So, for example, the Brazil and Germany game, I think it was, as well, which was kind of a big shocker, 7-0 and all that. And, of course, this last one with Germany and Argentina. So I've predicted a few, and on my track record, I got every single one of them right, and I won my client lots of money that he bet on, so I'm very, very excited about that. And I'm going to continue to tweak it. I've learned a little bit about this, and this is both of you, both Professor Ames and yourself, are expert diviners, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You do these readings, and then you fine-tune it. You go, so that's what this means. It means that this will go into overtime. Oh, this is what this means. It means it'll be this many points and things like that. So I've been fine-tuning it, and I expect that I'll continue to do it. It's been really fun to predict games using these traditional methods of geomancy and horary astrology.
That's cool. That's very, very cool. Wow. Okay. I got one other announcement, too, because you did kind of mention what's going on with air. So I did want to put a little shout-out on that. Kai Armand is back in air after a sabbatical. So those who missed him get to have him back, and we are very, very happy with that.
Yay.
Also, on this next Tuesday, we have done an interview with and have accepted another new member, and that is John St. Germain. And some of you know him through Facebook. Some of you know him through the books he's written for Llewellyn Publishing over the years. And his page will go live at air by Tuesday afternoon. So stay tuned for that. And we'll try to have him on the show just as soon as possible. Ollie's in charge of booking people for the show. So that's a new air member, John St. Germain, and an old air member, Kai Armand, back again after a brief sabbatical. All righty. Now we have our guest. So let's bring him in, Professor Ames.
Hello. How are you all?
We're fine. Busy, as you know. Yeah, we hear you just fine.
Welcome.
Yeah.
I'm holding on my right ear again this time, so hopefully I'll be heard the whole time. Funny that Countryman Ali was talking about guessing games. I also had a client a while back who asked me to give outcomes on a whole bracket of Spanish soccer games, football games, and I was 100%, 100% wrong. 100% wrong.
Oh, my God.
So I'm thinking,
you got my hopes
well,
up with
if 100%. I was 100%, well, if I'm that good, 100% wrong, then maybe I should just do the opposite. If I think they're going to win, I tell them they won't.
Well, you know
so
what they
do.
Say, truly, it's just as weird to be 100% wrong. I mean, that shows something.
I guess so.
You learn from it. You definitely do. You go, wait a minute. Well, this was actually this, and this means that. If you don't mind me asking, what method did you use to predict the game?
Oh, it was a while back. I think I used some type of numerology.
Numerology.
and clearly I had my numbers inverted. So,
Oh, yeah, so like with numbers or whenever there's that numeric quality, you always have that ability of kind of tweaking it on later. So I'm sure you've probably tweaked that, and now you can, if you did it again, you tried your hand, you'd probably be right.
I might. I need to raise some money, so walk up that over.
Yeah. That's funny. That's really funny. Well, while you guys were talking, I'll tell you my strange news. I was just thumbing through my little tarot deck, and I have two chariots and two queen of pentacles in my tarot deck.
Wow.
Oh, wow. How did that happen?
I know why. I know why. And my husband knows why. I'm one of these people who keeps a tarot deck at every computer station. I keep one in my utility belt. I must have dropped some cards, and they got put in. Now I don't, but I've got five different decks, all the same. They're all right away. Now I've got to go through every one of them and find who's missing the chariot and the queen of pentacles. The trouble that we have in life. So while we're talking, I'm thumbing through decks looking at what. How bizarre is that? All right. Well, we were talking about our panel discussion for the day, and we planned on that. It is, why does spellcasting sometimes not work? And I'm going to, as usual, I'm going to give a little bit of introduction to this. First of all, before we start, people always say, you know, there's a disclaimer. Spellcasting doesn't always work for many reasons, and people say, well, why do it if it doesn't always work? And my first thought is, well, why go to the doctor if you can't always be cured of an illness? You go to try. You know, why go to school if you can't learn everything in the world? Well, you go to learn as much as you can. So spellcasting works, but how much it works and how much you wanted it, that outcome is going to, you know, be different from job to job, situation to situation. And I do want people to understand that there is no thing that works 100% of the time except for maybe gravity. And I think there even are some places in space where gravity doesn't work. So, you know, we're dealing with a question of edges and odds. And this is what you guys were talking about with the predicting the outcome of games.
Exactly.
I think if you kept on doing it, you'd find that you had an edge, but you might not be able to do it right every single time, but you'd have an edge. And that's all what we're really hoping for, is to have that good edge. All right, having said that, let me turn this over to Ames, because he's the one who brought up the topic. You tell me, why do you think spells don't work sometimes?
Well, I had sort of a couple of interesting things that went on as far as something I do a lot of, you know, love, work, reconciliation, and it just, even the worst, you'll sometimes get some movement, you'll get something going on, but it just really didn't work. And so the first thing I started thinking about was, you know, why is this not working? And the client I had at the time really had, and this is kind of my first point, conflicting intentions. You know, she was wanting him back, and at the same time, she wanted to cross him up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that is human nature. The rat bastard, I can't stand him. I want him out of my life. If he walked through that door tomorrow, I would take him in a second. The second piece of that that came from that client was divine intercession. Because now that I have some perspective on some time, she's met someone who is absolutely wonderful, 10 times better looking, I'll tell you that. And, you know, treats her very well. It's like, well, you know, fate will step in to keep you apart so that you could open your space and your life to this next person. So I think that does happen a lot. That, you know, if we look in the trajectory of over time, maybe this really was not meant to be. Most of the time, divination will tell us that. Sometimes it won't. And that brings me to another couple of things. Deception. Sometimes a client will not tell you the whole story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
as right.
workers, we do our best. We do our very best to kind of dig in, see if we can see what's going on behind the scenes. But if they're not willing to kind of fess up to some things or complicity in the badness of the relationship or something of that sort, then it's going to be very difficult. And also request from a bad place. You know, what are their real motives? If you know, and I've heard this one too. They say they want him back, but they want him back to make him miserable and just so they can do the breakup.
I call that the 96 Tears syndrome after the song 96 Tears by Question Mark and the Mysterians. If you listen to the song, it's about somebody who wants to get someone back just so they can kick them up down the stairs, you know. And
right,
yeah,
right.
Question Mark and the Mysterians, 96 Tears syndrome. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. And then, of course, as an astrologer, I always have to look and see, do we just have bad conditions? Is there something in your astrological chart that needs to be looked at? And it's not being crossed up. It's just something in the natal chart or in a transit or progression or some astrological view of it. Because I'm an astrologer, I will always look at that or always have that in my consideration. And even here on the show, we say, you know, how old are you? If they're 28, 29, it could be their Saturn return, you know?
Sure.
So it could be things that are happening that are outside of the immediate conditions or being crossed up or anything of that sort. And then the final two I kind of think about is, you know, sometimes it's just a bad match, you know. Sometimes what you can do as a root worker and what they need as a client aren't quite in sync, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love AIR, you know, because I know all these other great workers. I say, you know what, this really isn't a strong point for me. This sounds very legal. So let's, if you're going to court, I'm going to send you over to Marin, you know. Some of those situations, I might send them to Ali. I might send them to Madame Nadia for another kind of work, Professor Porterfield. You know, everyone has their specialty and their strengths, and I can easily recommend and know what those are or just consult with them and say, hey, what's your perspective on this? This is what I'm thinking. So that is really, to me, extremely helpful and great for being part of an organization like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that there is a lot of that, especially in love work. There are other reasons that spells don't work, too. Sometimes people will just do a screwy spell, and they'll get a spell off the internet, and it don't make no sense. The whole thing is just arranged wrong. It doesn't have any roots basis, any traditional basis. They may be unknowing or ignorant, or sometimes they have an idea about magic that is, I guess you could say, from a comic book or a movie, and they think,
mm-hmm.
well, if I just wave this wand, this is going to happen, but they don't even understand it. And then, of course, there are people who actually don't understand how spells work, don't understand symbolism, contact magic, you know, all that type of stuff, and they just kind of plunge through, and sometimes they'll screw up a spell that was a perfectly good spell. The classic one is the person who said, well, I heard a freezer spell will stop somebody, so they put their lover in the freezer spell to stop him from running around. Well, now he stops coming around because his little thingy done got stopped up and he ain't going with nobody. So that may have been the wrong spell to do, see? And they, you know, sometimes you have to walk them through. Well, what did you, they go, well, the spell didn't work. He doesn't love me. Oh, you mean he has erectile dysfunction now because you just froze his penis. And, you know, they don't think it through always. And that's one reason that root work consultation is a good thing to hire, not even just to have someone to do the work for you, but if you want to do it yourself and save some money, you might want to talk to somebody who's done these types of spells and find out what works. Another one is what I call the visualization syndrome, which is I couldn't get a John the Conqueror root, so I just used this dandelion root. And I couldn't get a Queen Elizabeth root, so I just used this bunch of leaves, right? And I'm going to visualize them being together. Okay, you just go right ahead and do that. But the success rate will be lower. It's not that all magic is done with herbs and roots, but all root work is done with herbs and roots because it's root work. That's why we call it root work. And people who say things like, well, I'm just going to go down to the store and I'm going to buy this powder, and they think the powder will have the strength in a mojo bag that a root would have, and that's not really true. That's why it's called root work. So wrong ingredients, substituting ingredients, wrong spells, substituting spells, those are things too, you know. Miss Michael said something funny in the chat room. I didn't get the job, but I'm having visions out the wazoo because of using dandelion root instead of John the Conqueror. Good going, Michael. You made me laugh. All right. So what about you, Ollie? Why do you think spells sometimes don't work?
Well, you know, I think these are all excellent explanations of why they don't work. And I always find it interesting that just as a total aside, that root workers can have a better success rate than lawyers and doctors, but the work of lawyers and doctors are not looked upon with the same skepticism that a root worker is. And I always joke about that with my friends. But one of the things I have found is also finding a style of work or even a tradition that fits you. This is very important for why some spells work and sometimes they don't. I know people that for the life of them, they cannot do sweetening work, right? It doesn't work for them. It doesn't just meld with their personality. It doesn't meld with their spirit or the type of work that they're interested in. And so it doesn't work for them. It's not a good fit. So it's not just about having the knowledge and finding the right spell and finding the right working for this situation, but also finding the right way of working for you. And I think that's quite important as well. And there are some people I tell them, this tradition may not be for you. This isn't what you're looking for. And that's important as well. You know, people who come in interested in learning root work, it may not be for them. And other people, they come into root work and they go, wow, all of a sudden I'm out having all this wonderful success and my spells are working. I'm going, ah, that's because you found the tradition that's for you.
Yes.
So I think finding what works for you is also very, very important in addition to all these other factors. Finding what vibes with you in terms of tradition, and then within that tradition, the style of working. For example, contact magic for me is particularly big. You know, I'm an earth sign, so powders, jars, works that are very tactile, that have me involved, where my hands get involved, are excellent for me. You know, I have the best success from those type of works. Give me some doll babies. Give me some powders. And so finding that your own kind of style or the right fit for you is also quite important.
Yeah, I agree on that. I'm not notably successful with gambling spells, but I'm able to give out numbers to other people. But I just don't seem to be a good at doing my own gambling spells. I'm pretty darn good at love work if I feel it'll work. If I don't feel it work, I won't take the job. And that's another thing. Sometimes you may hire somebody to do something, and then maybe they've made, you know, 10 really good love spells in a row, and you're number 11. And your situation is just on that edge that they should say no, but they went, hey, I've had really good success, and they take the job, but they can't make it work. Now, that has to do with newbie practitioners. They didn't listen. This happens a lot. And in these internet days where anybody's a practitioner, I want you to all consider, if you're hiring a practitioner, to hire somebody who has experience. They're not going to be able to say, yes, 75% of my love cases work. They'll be honest with you. They'll tell you exactly what they're good at, and they'll give you a reading first. They may be able to say to you things like, I don't think this is going to work, but I know you're going to want to do it anyway, so I'll do the job, but I won't take any more money after a certain time. Those are a better worker for you than somebody who just says, you know, guaranteed to work, I do all love spells.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that the one may be insincere. They may be sincere because they did have 5 successes in a row, but they don't have the experience of someone who's been doing that kind of spell work for 20 years. So that's another reason, is an inexperienced professional worker that it may fail.
That's
and
true.
There's another thing, too, is crossing yourself up. A long time ago, we had a whole show on this one subject, just one subject alone. Remember that show? It was a great show. The lady who does the reconciliation spell, and the man calls up, and then she hangs up on him.
Yeah.
Or the lady who does the reconciliation spell, and the man comes back, and she says, I wouldn't go with you with the last person on earth. And we ask, why? And she goes, well, I wanted him to be more humble. No, you just got your reconciliation, and you walked away from it. So we did a whole show on this. We had a dozen examples of this that we had all been through with that particular thing. And I will say that was a show I did with Dr. Keone way, 10 years ago. And that show proved to be very popular. People couldn't believe how many stories. We just sold one story after another. We just traded stories. Yeah, the lady who has you do the reconciliation spell, the man calls while she's on the phone with you, and she hangs up on him to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what? You know, there are people who themselves undercut their own work, is what I'm trying to say. And Candelo mentioned also that he remembered Dr. E not taking court case work. That is right. Dr. E didn't take court case work because he had received a reading that said he should stay away from that for a while, and he did. It was a spiritual reading, and then later he was allowed to take court case work again, but nobody had offered to. They said, well, no, he won't take it. But it was funny because he actually got on the show and said, I can do court case work again now. That time is over. But the thing is, there are people, Dr. E was honest, there are people who are less than honest, and they may never have done a court case job, and but you come to them and you want something done, and they'll take your money. So
yeah.
be careful. Just, be careful who you deal with. I'm going to say one other thing, why people screw up spells. This is what I call a sign or an omen screw up. The most common one that I see on the Lucky Mojo forum, and for those of you who don't know about the forum, who are hearing this radio show, it's forum.luckymojo.com. There's a whole thread there called Why Magic Works and Does Not Work. The most common screw-up is, I went to the crossroads to dispose of whatever was left over from the spell, and it said, don't look back, and I just couldn't help myself. I looked back. Will it still work? I swear, people must have some kind of a demon in their head that makes them look back. And we know from the Bible, Lot's wife was told, don't look back, but she did. And these people do this so regularly that you have to think it's almost something built into the world of spirit, the world of magic, even the world of religion. This injunction, don't look back, is one of the simplest tests, and yet they'll do it, and then they'll come right back. They'll run back home and get on the internet and say, well, I look back, it's still good, right? It's still going to work, right?
Well,
you look back.
Spiritually relevant, too, is like the ability to walk away without looking back is a big sign of faith. And it puts the work out there in the sense that it's done. I've accomplished the work. It's making a declaration to the universe. And the act of looking back, and it has very, it's very symbolic. It's you that doubtful. You're constantly looking back. Mm-hmm. And then when they come and they're double-checking, well, is it working? That's still looking back. It's this symbolic act of going on the internet and looking back at your work yet again. Well, is it working? Did I do it right? But I glanced back. So they're constantly gnawing away at their own work, and it's the same thing of self-sabotage, right? You couldn't help yourself, and you couldn't, stop yourself from ruining your own good hard work.
And there are all those variations on the same thing. It's really about a lack of faith. They do work, and then 2 days later they do more work. And then 3 days later, do more work. And they keep piling on more and more and more work because they're not getting the immediate reaction, or they think they need more and more stuff. They're not able to not look back. You're exactly right. That is an act of faith symbolically. Talks about the deeper underpinning of, if you're giving this over to spirit, let them have it. Don't wrestle it back from them. Hand it over to them and let them handle it. Because I tell you, if you're not giving them faith, if you're doubting them and their work and their abilities, they're not going to come through for you. Why should they?
Right.
Or it's like going from root worker to root worker needing more and more and more work. I just need one more spell. No, I need something a little bit more powerful. The more powerful thing I've always been amused by, right? Well, I did this one working, but I think I need something a little bit more powerful because so-and-so is stubborn. Everyone is effing stubborn. The most powerful work is the work that's right for your situation, and that may be just a candle. And that just a candle is immensely powerful. You don't need to do something so elaborate. That's the key, right? But everyone has that mindset. I see that a lot, this mentality of, I need something a little bit more because my case is unique. Because I can't, a candle won't cut it, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm sure you both heard that, right?
I get that all the time.
Yes.
I get that one all the time. Which is more powerful, Uncrossing or Jinx Killer? Well, honey, they're different.
Well,
they do different things.
It goes back
things.
To that gaining
or
mentality
another one
you
is,
mentioned.
Right. Which is more powerful, Love Me or Fire of Love? Well, they're different. They're for different things. You can blend them, but they are different. And there is a kind of thing with this, you know, throw the kitchen sink at it kind of, you know, idea.
Yeah.
And also, like someone was saying, I tell people, work them cold and work them hot. Work them sour, work them sweet. In other words, you want someone to be nice to you and be sweet to you. You're going to work a sugar spell or a honey spell or something like that. You want someone to go away from you, leave you alone. You might work a hot red pepper spell or a sour spell, right? Lemon or vinegar or something like that. I'll see them work both spells on the same person. Well, that don't make no sense. Well, I want him to be sweet to me, but I want him to like, leave me alone. I'm like, what are you doing? And they'll do two spells that are contrary, and then it's almost like they set themselves to fight against themselves.
Very confused.
But what I was telling them to do was something different. I was telling them to work the drawing spell, whatever it is, during one phase of the moon and work a repelling spell, but not for the guy, for his other girlfriend. On the waning moon, and somehow they got that all mixed up that they're supposed to be doing. And a sweetening spell is not a drawing spell. A sweetening spell is just a sweetening spell. So they took drawing and repelling, draw him, repel this other gal, into I'm going to run a sugar spell and a vinegar spell on the same man, and then I'm going to put him in the freezer. And they're confused.
Mm-hmm.
They are very confused people. And, of course, their stuff doesn't work. So sometimes it really does help to have a consultation with a good root worker who knows it.
Absolutely.
Even if you can't afford to have them do the work and see if they can give you some direction. All right. Well, we're about out of time on this one, but it's a
great topic.
And I need to say, too, that we are not here to analyze why any one given spell didn't work. We're really here to talk about things we have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Any one given spell, we may not even know. Sometimes just God said, it is not to be, and you'll find out by and by, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee. We're going to take some calls from people and do some readings and give people some root work advice. Miss Tammy?
Yes, ma'am. Miss Kat, thank you so much, y'all. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjamin Ali, and this week's special guest, Professor Ames of Skull Bone Emporium of skullboneemporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller and client, and our first caller and client is calling in from 718 from New York. This is Lou. Lou, are you there, caller?
Yes, hello, everyone.
Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you have not yet been on the show, but you have gone to one of our wonderful members of AIR, Miss Bree, back in April, and she writes, I've been struggling and trying to find a good job for a while now. Things have gotten better in a way, getting more opportunities. However, it seems like it never goes through for me. I keep trying and trying, but yet I'm still struggling. I feel like my life is on hold due to the fact that I'm unemployed, and I feel like I'm just wasting time and I'm stressed out. I would like to know what's going on. Will I find employment very soon? And I'm an Aquarius. Turning it back over to you, with the exception of, I think I said Miss Brian, it's Miss Bree. Beg your pardon. Thank you.
Okay. Miss Karen. Okay. So, well, hi, Lou. I'd like to ask a couple of other questions. I know now that you're an Aquarius, and how efficient of an Aquarius to notice that we ask this question and to type it in instead of letting us ask. That's a very Aquarian thing to do. what field are you looking for employment in? You know, what kind of work is it?
Basically corporate business, you know, maybe like a receptionist, administrative work,
So the reason I ask is it's not something that requires a certificate, a license, or training of that type, right?
Yes, no.
Okay. And about how old are you?
I'm 25.
25. So you're young.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to do a three-card cut, and we're going to see what I have to say. And then we're going to turn it over to the next person, and we'll get you some root work advice after that. Okay.
Okay.
The first card I have is a card called the Card of Conflict, the Five of Wands. This is a card that shows five people competing. They're hitting each other with sticks. No one's getting killed, but there is a little bit of bruising action here, and it is a five-way struggle. Some people call it a play fight. They're practice fighting. Doesn't look too much like a play fight to me. So what I'm seeing here is that part of the problem is that where you're applying, there are too many competitors. It's a free-for-all. You might want to try applying at smaller companies. But this does not look like a curse. It looks like you need to get something to get you to shine and rise a bunch above the mass of herd of these people who are just kind of all going at each other. Okay. The next card I see is a card that says there actually will be a job for you. It's not a bad card at all. It's called the Ace of Pentacles. So you will have a job, and money will be handed to you, but this is a very quiet environment in a little garden with little lilies inside and roses on the outside. Be patient, but this tells me that things will turn, a job will appear. If you were looking at this from the standpoint of root work, you might want to wear some kind of a money-drawing amulet or an amulet dressed or a coin dressed with money-drawing or steady work oil or some combination thereof, because this does show a coin, a lucky coin being handed to you. And the third card is a card called the Magician, and that is a card that says you can change this situation through some work. Now, the Magician also has roses and lilies. So now we have two cards in a row with roses and lilies, and I do have to speak up to that. The roses stand for things that you're passionate about, things you love. The lilies stand for the innocent, for children, for virgins, for things that are more of the mind than of the body. And both cards have that. Roses and lilies. So it may be that the field in which you're applying is not exactly a field that you love, and that may be having an influence here too. The Magician, however, says that you can do the work to get a job, and you can help yourself. You want to be able to use all four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, and do some real good work in that regard. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Ames and see what he has to say.
Hi, Lou. I have the Lenormand cards laid out. I go ahead and lay them all out to kind of see a different size to this situation. What I'm seeing really does reflect a lot of what Kat was talking about. I do see a card. I have the Fox card above it is the Star, so this is something you hoped and dreamed for. Below it, which kind of gives a more tactical thing, the two things that she did mention, the Moon, which is about prominence, it's about fame, it's really about getting yourself out there. So look at your resume again, really brush it up. Kat many times has talked about, you know, how you dress your resume, all that kind of stuff. Look also at some electronic things, LinkedIn, any sort of public sort of environment, look at your people who will promote you as far as references. Be sure you talk with them and be sure they're going to give you good reference. And then below that is the heart, which again is about things that you are going to love. So really rethink, you know, versus just getting a job that will pay you, really start targeting yourself toward things that you know that you will love. So I think you will go into things that you are really excited about with a lot more enthusiasm, with a lot more excitement. And I think there will eventually be something in a larger company. In the interim, you may have some smaller, maybe temp jobs at smaller companies. The reason I'm looking here at the house, which is usually small businesses, the ring, which is a contract, the mice follows it. So there would be short-term small contracts. But that might build up your resume so that when you go to a corporation, you've got a broader set of skills that you can land that bigger job. So maybe look in the short term through some temp agencies or look at some smaller companies and build up that resume. You're at 25. You still have a lot of potential. It's a good age for starting into a market. But really build that breadth of different types of skills so that when a big corporation looks at you, they can say, oh, we can fit her here, we can fit her there, and we can fit her there. And I think that's really going to kind of help with that. Okay?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's turn it over to Ollie, and he gives some root work advice here.
Certainly. You know, I think given the readings that were presented, I would say a mojo bag is the way to go. Let's get that personal talisman amulet. A quality to do it. It's also very powerful spiritually for drawing your ideal job. What I want you to do is I want you to write down a list of qualities or characteristics that you're looking for in your ideal job. This can be something specific, like the role you want. I want to work in some type of administration or receptionist, or it can be a little bit more general. I want a job where I'm happy. I want a job close to my home. I want a job. Make sure that you also include how much you want to make. I want to make a job that gives me enough money that I can live, pay my bills, but enough that for luxury and enough to set aside for the future. So write all of that down, and what you're going to do is you're going to go get yourself a coin. I like the gold Sacagawea coin for something like this. It really reminds me of the Ace of Pentacles. And you're going to take that along with a small magnet. You can get a magnet from a craft store. Normally, I would say a lodestone, but I want you to do a magnet in this case, slightly different. And you're going to sandwich your list between the coin and the magnet, and you're going to take a string and tie it together. Dress the magnet with a little bit of steady work or traction oil and feed it some magnetic sand. Place that into the red mojo bag along with some gravel root, five-finger grass. I want you to put some cinnamon for attraction, deer's tongue for eloquence, and I also want you to put a bay leaf in there. Bay leaf for success and to overcome any type of competition that you have. Then you're going to breathe your prayer into that bag and tie it, capturing your prayer into the bag. Feed your mojo bag once a week, either some oil like Steady Work, Attraction Oil, Crown of Success, or some whiskey. And carry that on you, and I think that mojo bag will be the key to finding the job that you need in this situation. Now, the key to working a mojo bag is that it needs to be worked actively. It's not just a passive talisman that you carry on your body. You need to hold the mojo bag. You need to pray over it, squeeze a little bit. When you go into the interview, make sure that you have your mojo bag on you. And lightly, as you talk to the person, you want to touch your mojo bag. If it's in your pocket, just reach over and lightly touch the mojo bag. This is a good way of drawing the influence of the mojo bag right into your interview, and it can help you get the job that you need. And it's really all you need. I don't think you need a lot of work, but the mojo bag is going to be ideal for your situation, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my dear.
Good luck to you, hon.
Thank you.
Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee and see what she has to say.
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic Contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next new client, and our next new client is calling in from area code 281. This is Roxana. Roxana, are you there, caller? And Roxana from Texas, and this is Atascosia. Atascosia. Hello, Roxana.
Hello.
Hi, sweetheart. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
It's Atascosia.
Oh, Lord. Okay, well, thank you so much. All right, from Texas, our friend from Texas. Okay, good. All right, and this is Sister Fox on the forum, okay? And just double-checking, again, this is your first time calling in. And she writes, I would like to move and want to relocate and get a job, preferable in the same income bracket. I want the location to be a sound choice, well-suited for husband and I, with the best chance of a solid foundation and performance. Turning it back over to you.
Hi, Roxana.
Hi, Kat.
Hi. This is, for those who know you, we know who you are. She's also known on Facebook as Floral Dreams, right?
Yes.
Right? Yes. Am I correct?
Yes, indeed. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Otherwise known as the wife of Frank Jellyfish Rising. Okay, so now we know who we're talking to. All right, and Ollie, you met them at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival.
I did.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, Ollie's going to give you your first reading.
Absolutely, I'm more than happy to. I pulled a few cards here to take a look and see, you know, how a chance of moving looks like for you. The first card that we have is the Knight of Pentacles. The Knight of Pentacles is the only stationary knight in the deck, and it shows this individual on a draft horse or a dark horse with a golden coin in his hand, and there's a tilled field behind him. This says that the potential is good, but getting, you know, the ball rolling and getting things moving may be a little bit slow. So potential is good, but be aware that it may take a little bit before you guys actually take the step and move. The seeds have been planted. Now it's just a matter of finding the right time. So don't rush into this. Don't dive in first. Just take your time. Know that it may take a little bit longer than first anticipated, but that you will be able to move. And it does look like a good chance for finding a good job with a solid foundation. The Knight of Pentacles is a earth suit, and that is very good for a situation like this. The next card that we have is the Strength card. The Strength card shows us a woman wearing a white gown or robe, and she's got garlands over her head and garlands around her waist, and she's closing the mouth of the lion, not drawing upon her physical strength, but upon her inner strength. You are going to be very instrumental in the success of this situation. You're going to have to draw on your spiritual powers and your spiritual abilities, and having met you, you do have some great inner strength there. You will be able to draw on that to make this situation do what you need it to do. The lion represents the action or the situation or the circumstance. You will be able to tame it by drawing upon some spiritual work. So root work advice that my colleagues are going to give you is going to very much help you in this situation. And you have everything you need. You don't need to rely on anyone else or turn to a professional in this case. That you will be able to make this situation turn in your favor. The final card that we have is the Justice card, which shows us the figure of the law, the figure of justice, sitting on a throne between two pillars with a sword upright and scales in the other hand. You will achieve what you want to achieve. You will achieve equilibrium. You will find balance. You will find harmony. You will find a situation that gives you what you deserve. Okay, so what your characteristics, what you bring to a job, what qualities you have, what attributes you have, you'll be able to find a job that matches that, and a job that gives you a sense of stability, a job that gives you a sense of success. There's also opportunity for promotion here, of moving forward.
so I do see a very good chance of moving and finding a job for you. You're just going to have to be a little bit patient in this situation and draw on some inner strength. Know that you're going to have to kind of be the strength in this situation as the person, as the kind of central person here, but that you will achieve what you need to achieve and get what you want, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm going to do a little bone reading, and as I was explaining on the radio, this is not a complete bone reading, but I'm just going to grab some bones out of my collection of bones, a handful, and throw them, and we'll see what we get. So, all righty. As often happens, when my little abalone shell lays down, shiny side up, something is inside of it. And this is the first thing that rings a bell with me. It's a bone carving of two fishes together, kissing kind of two carp, Chinese carp. And that always stands for money in Chinese symbolism. So I have a little bone fish. They have a side with their tail up and a side with their tail down. And so I call them heads and tails. So this is heads. Their tails are down. And this little fish is inside the abalone shell. So this says you should stick to doing some work that is beautiful to you. In other words, the job you should get is one of beauty, one of pleasure, and one that contributes to gracefulness in the world. To one side of that, there is a wishbone. Now, this is kind of funny because I recently broke my wishbone. I have two wishbones in my bone set, a little tiny one and a big one. And I was casting bones last week, and I picked everything up, and I'm so nearsighted, I didn't see that I had dropped my wishbone out, and I stepped on it and broke it. And Nagashiva, my husband, gave me another wishbone. But I had to make sure it was a large one, so I would always have one large and one small. So this is my brand new wishbone. I know it right away because it's not my old wishbone. And in between it is a dog ankle bone, and sitting on top of that is a buckeye nut. So this says you should reframe your wish. I'm just considering this is the first time this wishbone has come out in a reading, and here it is. The dog ankle bone is someone who's faithful and kind and companion, so you want to go someplace where you and Jellyfish Rising go together. The buckeye nut is about health. And it says that there are health issues here, and you need to be sure that your health is good for travel. And you need to make some good changes, or get tests or get your, just make sure of your health before you try to travel. The dog bone always says, go with your companion. The brand new wish is good. One more bone here, and it's a little doll arm. And it's a little doll arm that's kind of holding on to and kind of grabbing that abalone shell in a kind of embracing, friendly way. So, again, that's just about the work you're looking for, something in, the field of spirituality, something in the field of art, something in the field that is, not the corporate world like our previous caller who wanted a job. This is a different kind of job because it's abalone shell. But it says that is good for you. And make sure that the two of you go together, stay together, because your companion is part of this. Make sure your health is okay. All right? That's what I see.
Thank you.
So let's turn this over to Ames, and he's going to give you some root work advice on how to get this thing together.
Hi. Well, two what I think are very good readings, and what really came to me for this is it's creating a lamp, the old-fashioned kerosene lamp, for two reasons. I think it should be, we're talking about the home, we're talking about togetherness, doing this as a couple, as a partnership, and moving the home in your whole life. So having putting together a lamp there in the center of your home or at the hearth of your home if you have a fireplace or in the kitchen table, I would want you to put in it, first of all, a lodestone with magnetic sand. So it would be drawing in all of this other stuff. And then things that are related to different aspects of the move. So Kat brought up health, so perhaps even a buckeye in there, if it will fit in. certainly something for wealth. I like alfalfa. I also like the golden flower, so chamomile or calendula flower. And then what I want you to do is write your petition out on a map. Maps are getting hard to find, but you can print one out of the location that you're planning to go to. And I want the petition to be on there. Fold that up nicely. Dress it perhaps with a little cinnamon. What I'm hearing from Conjurmal Lee's reading is that things might be a little slow, which is why I'm tending toward fire to heat things up. Putting a little cinnamon in there would help heat things up as well in a positive way and give you a little draw for money along the way as well. So prepare that. Let it burn in your own home. And I would like for it to be the first thing that kind of comes into your new home. Obviously, do the cleansing for the new home and set that up so the fire kindles and starts burning in the new home as well. So it kind of transfers that warmth of there as well. If you need some extra boost, if this is going slow, you could certainly get a prayer card to Saint Expedite, or Saint Expedite, as they call him. Be prepared with some pound cake when things come through. He seems to be fine with Sara Lee frozen pound cake, but you'll want to put that out for him as soon as you get some answer on the work. There are some workers that work very well and very often with Saint Expedite, and they could help you with that as well.
Thank you.
Okay, that's good. That's really good. I sure do like working with Saint Expedite, or as I was taught to call him before I found out what his real name was. The person who taught me called him Espediti.
I've heard him called everything.
Yeah, Espediti. Well, I thought it was this guy named Espediti. You know. Anyway, but that is a good spirit to work with, and I am going to add just one other thing too, because I saw that health thing. This also would concern your husband's health as well. So just I'm not going to try to scare you all, but make sure you have a good bill of health before you start any move. Okay, just saying. Because the reason I say his health, because that Buckeye was also on top of the dog bone. The dog ankle bone, which stands for your companion. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank
it's
you.
It's always nice to talk to you,
good
honey.
Luck with that.
All right. So we have two job calls today. Let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee and see what comes next.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. And if your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and root work consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com. And this week's very special guest from air, Professor Ames of SkullBoneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phones and take our next new client. And our next new client is calling in from my old stomping ground in 954, Florida. And this is Monique. Monique, are you there, caller?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time being on the show and that you have not yet gone to any other members of AIR for reading or root work. And she writes, since my husband divorced me, I lost my happiness. I saw psychiatric, but I saw
psychiatric, but nothing changed. No man makes me happy. I need to know if he has casted a spell on me. I need to know if he will return back to me. And the reason we broke up was because his family that brainwashed him against me. Would you do a reading for me to see if he will return back to me, or can I find happiness with another man? Is there any spell that will return him to me? Turning it back over to you.
Oh, man. Okay, Monique. Well, you got a lot going on here, and I'm going to just pause for a moment and look at this. We were talking about why spells sometimes don't work. And here is an example of someone who's going in three directions at once. Now, no fault of your own. You've been handed a horrible thing, but your husband divorced you. You're not happy. You want to know if he cast a spell on you, and yet you also want to know if he will return back. And yet you broke up because of his family that had brainwashed him, and yet you want to know if he'll return back, or can you find happiness, or is there any spell that will return him? So it's like a little bell. The clapper goes back and forth. One half is always changing, and the other half is always, will he come back? So he left. I lost my happiness. Will he come back? I saw a psychiatrist. Will he come back? No one makes me happy. Will he come back? Did he cast a spell on me? Will he come back? Will he, you know, we broke up because of his family. Will he come back? Would you do a reading? Will he come back? Can I find happiness with another man? Will he come back? You see the tone that it's like a constant ringing bell.
Exactly.
So, yeah, well, it's what we would call an intrusive or obsessive thought that is intruding into all the other possible plans or other possible ways of thinking that you might get. So we're going to read on that question and that question only. Will he come back? Because all these other questions are decoration. Okay? All right. Mm-hmm. So having said that, let me turn it over to Professor Ames.
Hi. I'm going to I'm reading my Lenormand cards again. And for this situation, this specific one, I'm looking first here at the lady card and the man card. Between you is the tower that always indicates some separation, that sense of loneliness, that sense of distance. Above him is the sun, indicating that he is happy with where he is. The book, which is Secrets, and the very top there is the coffin. I also have confirmation that past him is the key, which is what's going to happen. Then the cross, which is burdens. So my feel right off the bat is that, no, he will not come back. I also have a little gadget here that I created. I call it the Mercury Key, and it's four Mercury dimes on the end of a skeleton key. I throw it and get geometric figures. What I will say as far as outcome is that the first is conjunctio, which is coming together. So this is about relationship. Letitia, which is joy and happiness. There will be a happy relationship for you. But the last figure here is Cauda Draconis, which means endings. You must let this go to a certain extent to move on. But I do feel like there is great happiness for you in a relationship coming up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, well, let's turn it over to Ali and see what he says.
Certainly. It's funny, Professor Ames and mine reading line up even in terms of the figures that we received.
Oh, really?
As Nancy reading, yeah. The first and foremost, I do get a very clear sign that he is not coming back. Looking in the seventh house, we have Cauda Draconis, the end of things. It is time to move on. It is time to go on to something else. So it's the same figure. This is the end of the situation, the end of the marriage in the seventh house. But I will go further and say that when I cast the projection of points, that I do see some trouble comes into the 12th house as Tristitia. There is a curse that has been done here. Something is messing with you. It's not just your own fears and your own emotional complications. There's something, some spiritual work that has been done. This passes into the 11th house. It is someone close to him someone who is likely interfering between you and your ex-husband and has attacked your mind specifically. So be aware that there is magical work that is being done in this situation. It is a close family member of him. It's not a mother or a father, though, okay? So I will say that. Not a mother or father, but it's a family member or a close associate of his. But there is magical work that has been done in this particular situation. The good news is, like Professor Ames said, I do see happiness for you with someone else, though. The judge, the final answer we see here is conjunctio, which is a joining of two figures. I do see a new relationship for you, timing-wise. This is likely going to happen in the late fall. So be aware that it's a few months away, not immediately, but late fall, around probably late October, early November, is when you'll have this new relationship really come into your life. So that is, it's a positive thing, but and it's confirmed with the reconciler, which is the Misa, which is the loss of heart. Losing your heart to someone else is a very good figure when it comes to love. You will find love. You will find a new relationship in late fall, but you're going to have to address the kind of spiritual work that has been done on you. You're going to have to remove the work that's been done on you and kind of turn this situation around, and also consider some type of cut and clear work or removal work when it comes to your ex. You want to disassociate yourself completely from that situation entirely, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk to you about some kind of root work that can be done. First, I have a question. You had seen Miss Flora, or dealt with her, and she is a member of AIR. Did she do any work for you for this situation?
No, just the reading. It was just reading last
just
year.
Just a reading.
Yes, it was last year.
All right. Okay. So I noticed something here. You called yourself on the Lucky Mojo forum. Your username is Need Jinx Breaking. So you obviously do know that you have been worked on, and Ollie confirmed that.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I would just say do a cut and clear, move on. The guy divorced you, you know, find someone who is more faithful. But you actually have been damaged here, and the fact that you call yourself not Need Jinx Breaking says you know it. So it is possible to take a jinx off of yourself. It is not impossible. It is also difficult. And you have gone to a psychiatrist, presumably because of depression, but you're also under a jinx. My opinion is that you might need a root worker to be your counselor or guide through the process of jinx breaking. You live in Florida, and there are a number of good workers there. I don't know what part of Florida your area code represents, but you would want someone fairly near you. There are also a lot of bad, fraudulent root workers in Florida, a lot. So be very careful, okay? You're at area code 954. Does anyone, what part of Florida is that? What town?
I'm with West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach. Now, isn't that funny? There's a worker who just graduated from my course named Candelo Cambisa, who's in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you might want to see him about taking the jinx off. He's a responsible person. He's a good worker. I've known him for quite a while now. And he is local to you. And I believe you need a healing jinx breaking ceremony performed by Candelo in person. Okay? I'm just going to say that. Yes, he will tell you to move on, but we got to take the junk off you first. And he happens to... Do you know who I'm talking about, Candelo Cambisa?
Yeah.
No. Monique, you never met him, huh? Okay, good. Well,
yeah,
isn't that interesting? Okay. Well, he's right local to you. And so I think you should try to connect with him. Honey, we're having noise now in your room. We're going to have to mute the caller, please. Oh, thank you. Okay. So that's number one. You you should see him about jinx breaking. I would like you to do that before you do any kind of cut and clear. But the next step would be a cut and clear spell, and there are many of them online. I'm not going to go into that yet because right now I feel that what you need is personal guidance to take that jinx off. Now, you could do it yourself, and you might be prescribed some uncrossing herbs such as a 13-herb bath or an uncrossing bath crystals, and that would work. But I think you actually need what's called hands-on healing. Somebody actually do the work. Do you understand what I'm saying here, Ollie, why I say that?
Definitely. I'm 100% with you. I think that's an awesome recommendation. And some type of work really that cleanses the mind as well. So hands-on cleansing work, work that really targets at clearing the mind as well. So breaking that.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll know exactly what to do with this situation. But, Ms. K, I'm with you. That's right on.
Yeah, and Candelo is in the chat room going, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those fortuitous coincidences that you happen to live in the same place that he does. Now, and he does this work, and he's a good worker. Now, we're going to talk about once that is taken off of you, what are you going to do next? I would like you then to do a spell to rid yourself of all love connections, because there's two things that you're under here. One is... brainwashed him against you by making you appear at your worst, confusing you in mind. The other thing is there is something on you that is keeping you obsessively asking, will he return, will he return, will he return? And it may be that he put something on you to make the love permanent, or something happened here that has got you very confused in mind. And I don't want to see that happen, but listen to me when I say do not do the cut and clear first and then the jinx breaker, okay? You want to do the jinx breaker first, then when you're in your right space and have your mental calmness and focus and faculties, then you're going to do the cut and clear, and then you're going to draw in somebody new. A cut and clear is not just to get rid of somebody, but it's to draw in somebody new. Okay, so you're going to want to do that. And K.S. Witten in the chat room says, walnut bath? Yes, I think a black walnut bath would be a good starter for you. Black walnut bath kills your feelings of love for someone. If those feelings of love were unnatural and were induced upon you, which is what I believe has happened, then it may be that... you would be feeling more obsessed than would be normal, okay? Does that make sense to you, hon? Oh, she's muted. All right, let's see if we can get her back on. Can you get her back, Shiva? We muted her because of talking in the background. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Sorry about that. We had voices in the background and everything. So do you understand the order that we're talking about doing this in? To take off the jinx, do a black walnut to cut all feelings, and then do a cut and clear and draw a new love, okay?
Thank you.
All right. I wish you all the best. And like I said, look up Candelo Kimbisa. You can see him right there in the chat room. He's posting pretty well, you know, every few inches of scrolling chat, he's there. He's also at Facebook under the name of Candelo Kimbisa. And he lives near you. His name in Blog Talk Radio is Candelo's Corner Radio. Okay? All right, hon. I wish you all the best. Let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee, and we're going to go to the next segment, which will be our free spell, right after her announcement.
Well,
so,
yes, ma'am.
Oh, and K.S. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm sorry. I got to jump on you. And K.S. Witten said his show is on tomorrow night. That's right. Thank you for the shout-out, K.S. Witten. Candelo's show is on Monday. All right. Go ahead. Take it away, Tammy Lee. I apologize.
That's all right. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Cat. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hootie Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call on during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time each and every Sunday here on Blog Talk Radio. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the free spell section of our show. And Professor Ames of SkullBunEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado, is going to go ahead and do that for us. Professor Ames.
Absolutely. Recently I was working with a client that I've known for some time, and we've done different kinds of work. But she's at the point where she's had been single for a while, and she really wants to draw in someone new. She does a lot of the work herself, so she's really looking for, as Kat was mentioning earlier, magical coaching. So together we kind of co-created this spell work. And she's a graphic designer, so I know that she's very creative. And I call it the Feathering Your Nest spell or the Magpie spell to draw in new love. So the first piece of it is a
Professor Ames, I got to interrupt. Your voice is going all tinny and weird. Is it because of the way you're holding the phone? Because we can barely hear.
Any better?
That's better. Yeah. Okay.
Any better? I hate
the
magpie spell. And thin and whiny. Magpie spell.
Okay.
Feathering your nest. So the first piece of this was to get a nest, and I will just say, don't go out and rob a nest out of a tree. First of all, it's some bird's home, and second, it runs high risk of all kinds of things like mites and toxoplasmosis and stuff. But almost any hobby craft store like Michael's, you can get these little pre-made nests, okay? In that, I had her take a blown-out eggshell. You just poke holes in each end of a regular chicken egg, blow the yolk and all out, rinse it out. Inside of that, I had her put some love sachet powder. Love me, come to me, follow me, boy, would all be good. Powders alongside her petition. And with that, I wanted her to really think about what qualities she really wanted to draw in a person. Kindness, generosity, a sense of humor, creativeness. Write those down the list for what she wanted to draw in. That goes into the egg along with some brown herbs like rosemary is good, basil, rosebuds, of course, and put that into the nest. Alongside it, a lodestone or a magnet to do the drawing and the magnetizing. And then I left the rest of it a lot to herself. One of the things I did recommend were actual feathers. So a lot of times we'll see in some hoodoo spells things like a parrot feather, if you want someone to be talkative, to be able to talk and have conversations. A peacock feather would be good for something glamorous. Because, of course, if you have friends that have lovebirds or any sort of a bird that pairs up and mates for life, you might want to put those in there. Some people find cardinals to be very spiritual as well. So whatever works as far as that. And then the rest of it, I just wanted her to have this sort of continuing spell where she would put things in it, charms, bones, shells, anything that meant something to her that would reflect the kind of person that she wanted to have come into her life. If she wanted somebody who was very well read, maybe it's a little tiny book, or it might be a pen. If she wants them to be able to be a good writer or creative type of person, a paintbrush. So finding those things would kind of become her meditation through the day as she was going through to pick up little items, to think about this person, and put them in there. The other piece of it we had kind of come up with was making a little mojo bag. So maybe the lodestone goes inside of its own bag within that with some love-drawing herbs, rosebuds again, lavender is good, rosemary, and that she could take that with her as she goes out in the world every day and return it to its nest every night.
Mm.
Wow.
I love it.
This is very nice work. I'm going to say too that just to speak up in terms of natural nests, most nests are made by songbirds for 1 year, and you can, if you find an abandoned nest, it's done with. You can take it. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Not Michael's
okay.
Craft is not the only source. Just gonna say. But no, you don't want to be robbing some bird's home. But they do usually remake one. And the other thing you said here is I have a question about. You talked about blowing the egg and then putting these powders and stuff, but you didn't say about
mm-hmm.
sealing the other end. So I just want to throw in a little crafty thing because I've done this before. You blow both ends of the thing, and it's sort of traditional to use cigarette paper or some very soft, thin paper and glue it to the other end of the egg so that you can
mm-hmm.
fill it, and you can then fill it, and then you glue another cigarette paper. This is how people make eggs that they throw. But you can use any kind of paper, but people tend to use a cigarette paper. Just had to say that.
Good. Very good. Thank you.
That's
yeah.
a beautiful
That's
working
a lovely,
for the same. I
really yeah, like a lovely, it. Yeah. Lovely
well,
idea
so
for
nice
a spell.
Because she is very creative. She's a graphic designer. She likes to do her own work and was very much in need of some magical coaching. Which I love to do with people, especially creative people, because we kind of bounce some ideas. We sort of grew this whole idea into something that she was really excited about, something that she could work on herself and really make her own, personalize it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I still fading? I'm
yeah.
hearing people saying I'm fading. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fading away and going tinny. Another thing you could do, and I'm just winging off of this one, is use small eggs and have different eggs for different wishes, you know,
yeah.
like little quail eggs or something like that. There are places where you can buy fresh eggs that are not chicken eggs. Quail eggs are often
mm-hmm.
used in cooking by Asian people. See if you can get those. I have done blown quail eggs that I
I've
got.
I've done quail eggs as
believe
well.
It
they're really lovely.
Yeah, Japanese restaurants will sometimes serve you quail eggs, and you can take them home. Uh-oh. Are those the Jack Russell Terriers of Doom?
Not. Those are not mine.
Oh, they're not yours. Okay.
I don't have dogs.
Well, I do, but that one wasn't mine. All right.
Where did that come from?
This is wild dogs. Okay. Ah, Tammy Lee, their dogs in Tammy. Oh, she says, I'm in an office. No, they're not.
Yes.
They were just. No
sorry.
Dogs. No dogs with her. All right. Well.
It's a sign.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for this spell, which you called magpie spell or feathering your nest. I really enjoyed
yes.
that. It's
really
a very creative way to work. And I can tell you there's a million different ways to do this. If a person is of an artistic or thoughtful bent, this is a good way to work. Thank you so much, Professor Ames.
You're welcome.
Get yourself a better phone next time.
I will try that.
You need help. Your phone needs help, honey. All righty. Let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us out.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you so much, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Professor Ames of SkullblendEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado, for being our special guest from air this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Miss Elvira of MissElvira.com in Forestville, California. Once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hootie Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCronConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hootie Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye-bye, Miss Tammy. Thank you, Professor Amos, for being our guest and for that remarkable
Thank you for joining
show.
Us, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you for having
and
me.
And a great topic, okay. And an amazing topic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good topic, too. Well, we'll have you back
mm-hmm.
on again real soon.
Okay.
And,
looking forward to it.
Thank you, Ollie, as always,
always
for holding down the fort. And we're going to have Miss Elvira on next week. That's going to be real nice. People like her a lot. I love her a lot. She's a good reader. All right. I'm going to say that I'll be in the chat room for a very brief amount of time. I'm going to be going back out to my railroad layout and work on the trains and also planting flowers that we got from the remarkable Steve G. Steve G has brought us so many flowers, we don't know what to do. Also, I guess the only other thing I can say is if you like to garden, I am up for having people come and help me garden. I'll trade them Lucky Mojo products. That's how desperate I am for gardeners. All right.
Have fun.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.